Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional mess maker. Excuse me. And I wanted to dive into some fun fall learning and skill building exploration this week. The weather has changed. I can't believe we are in the middle of October, which means Halloween is right around the corner. But with the new season comes all kinds of learning opportunities. The leaves are changing and falling from the trees, and the weather is also changing from what we've experienced all summer long. And these are great science explorations. These are great opportunities to answer kids' questions about why these things happen and how these things happen. As I mentioned, Halloween is also right around the corner. And that is one of the reasons why the fall is one of my favorite times of the year to really get kids engaged in different kinds of invitations. You can dive into so many different topics that build so many different skill sets all through play and exploration. And so I want to dive into some of them in the rest of this week's episode. This week, I want to talk about loose parts and how loose parts can tie into the fall and, as I said, into Halloween and other areas of skill building. One of the things that I really like to get kids engaged in as a learning opportunity is this idea of silly monsters. And you've heard me talk about this topic for years now, if you've followed this podcast that long. I've shared a lot of content on this topic, but I like to come back to it again and again and again because there are so many different angles that you can use this topic. Silly Monsters touches on that Halloween aspect, but also engages and explores emotions. And kids of many different ages experience throughout their childhood many different big emotions, positive big emotions, negative big emotions, and big emotions that are somewhere in between. And engaging in a thing like silly monsters and activities built around it can really help kids learn to process and understand their emotions and the things around them that cause them certain big emotions. Silly monsters can be anything. When I think of silly monsters, I think of one of my favorite children's books. Actually, two of my favorite children's books, if I'm being perfectly honest. Where the Wild Things Are and Go Away, Big Green Monster. I absolutely love both of those books, and they lend themselves really well to all of these concepts. Silly Monsters is also another topic that can help conquer kids' fears. So fear of separation, fear of the unknown, fear of trying something new. You can use silly monsters to make these things a fun experience. because you can create silly stories around these big emotions that kids are experiencing. So if you have a picky eater, you can create a silly monster that likes to munch on different kinds of food, and that creates a challenge for the picky eater in your life to engage in munching on different kinds of food along with their silly monster friend. So those are some of the ways that you can use silly monsters as a way to build skills and overcome challenges that you may be facing with the kids in your life. Another fun topic that I like to offer, excuse me, is mad scientist or mad science. And this is a topic that can set up all kinds of long-term projects, and you can actually tie silly monsters into it. But you can learn all kinds of fun things. Not to jump all over the place here, but when I was talking about weather changes and the changes to the leaves, you can tie silly monsters into that as well, because you can go on a nature hike or a scavenger hunt and collect different items from nature and do a series of art projects that create silly monsters, which really engage kids' critical thinking and their eye-hand coordination, as well as small motor skills. But the mad science experience is one that I used to set up in my classroom all the time. I used to teach in some settings that wasn't really big on the idea of Halloween as a holiday. And so I took more of an educational approach to it and was able to do it, but have my own Halloween fun at the same time, because I happen to enjoy Halloween. But when you take an educational approach, which is what mad scientists is, you engage kids in learning and critical thinking and trial and error. And you can do this with picky eaters because you can make edible experiments, which actually would be a whole lot of fun. But if you want to focus on solely the science aspect, you can do a lot of cause and effect learning by setting up experiments and getting kids to engage and carry out the experiment itself while making their own predictions as to what would happen. So I would encourage you definitely to set up your own mad scientist lab as a long-term project. I try to leave it up for the entire month of October because you can swap things out so easily that the kids never get bored. You can make magic potions. You can practice with making silly putty and Play-Doh. And you can explore all different kinds of ingredients, but the magic potions aspect was one of my favorites because, again, it was something that you could let the kids create with whatever loose parts you have around, whether it's trying to think of some of the things I've used. Glitter, clear glue, cooking oil, tissue paper, sand, beads, googly eyes, and let them come up with their own magic potions and what they would be used for and how they would be used really gets kids' creative juices flowing. It gets them to dictate recipes, which builds language and gets them excited to learn about science and predicting what is going to happen when we mix different ingredients together. You can introduce things like peroxide and chalk and flour and baking soda. A lot of times you can introduce Play-Doh as a magic potion and let the kids actually mix the ingredients together, and they enjoy watching all of the things come together and then taking that Play-Doh and creating their own things with it, which can further learning. But a lot of times kids just like to experiment with mixing materials together and seeing what's going to happen. So you can go in any direction that you want to go with magic potions. You can go in any direction you want to go with silly monsters as well. You can bring them together if you really wanted to. Now, if you wanted to go a less scary or spooky direction with silly monsters, you could do things like scarecrows as well. And even scarecrows offer up a deeper learning opportunity because you can research why a scarecrow is a scarecrow and what they're used for, and exploring the different materials you would use to build one. And you can even create blueprints to build one and then get kids to work together as a team to actually construct the scarecrow. You can make it into a relay race. You can make it into a multi-group competition. You can do the same things with silly monsters. You can have different stations that have different loose parts that kids have to go through to collect the parts and actually construct their scarecrow or their silly monster. And actually, as I'm talking about this, you could even explore robots as silly monsters, which gets into another aspect of the Mad Scientist Lab, because you could create a robot lab, which is another fun long-term project that I personally enjoy and have had a lot of fun with a wide range of ages of kids and skill level range as well. Again, you set out the loose parts, you create different stations, you can set up little challenges that get kids to think about what the object is you're talking about. So for instance, you can say, I am a loose part that looks like I have wings coming out of my head. What am I? And I'm probably using the wrong word for it, but it's what I grew up knowing it as. The answer would be a wing nut. So they would have to take the wing nut, and then you could ask the second question that would lead to them discovering what other loose part the wing nut could be attached to make a part for their robot, and then challenge them to actually go about putting the robot together. And hence you have a long-term project that is a silly monster robot. And then they can concoct stories both about their scarecrow, their robot, and their mad scientist concoction talking about why it was built or why they mixed the things together that they did and what they're going to use it for. That is a great skill for kids to learn how to put a story together and then actually practice either writing or typing the stories out. Doing things like making magic potions or building robots or constructing a silly monster or a scarecrow encourages kids to explore how it works. So how they can make a robot move by using certain parts together that allow their monster to move in a specific way, which again gets into another area of science. With the potions, you can study biology and chemistry. And with the robots, you can study physics and mechanics and electricity and all of these different things that are great learning for kids, but you're also creating a really fun hands-on experience that is going to get the kids engaged and wanting to learn more and do more. And these activities are really great ways to get the kids to explore things that they might otherwise be hesitant to do. So I touched on it a little bit at the beginning of the episode, but I really want to encourage you also to take advantage of the fun learning that not only the season of fall has to offer, but the holiday of Halloween. If you have an interest in engaging in those types of things, learning about the changes that the trees go through and the changes that the weather goes through from summer to fall and why that is and what causes the leaves on the trees to actually change color and then fall off the trees. And you can even go into what causes the trees to year after year reproduce leaves at the same time of the year. And these are great learning experiences for kids as well for the fall time of year. One of, I think, most kids' favorite part of the fall is pumpkins. I talked earlier in the summer about life cycles of pumpkins and life cycles of gourds and squash and all of those things, because I grew those things. And you can go back to summer episodes of the podcast to hear me talk about those things. I actually got a pumpkin this year, which was really exciting because I didn't realize it had been growing. It was buried under all kinds of vines, and I thought that I hadn't given the pumpkins enough space to grow and that they just grew a bunch of crazy vines. And I was very excited to find that I actually had a pumpkin. You can talk to the kids about how viney plants can be a silly monster too, because they do look kind of monster-like because they just go all over the place. And you can use things like pumpkins and gourds to create silly monsters as well. Some years ago, I grew giant gourds. And I actually grew this one that looked like a duck with a long neck. It was really cool. And I actually put googly eyes on it and put it out as a Halloween decoration. And it was, in a sense, a silly monster. But kids love to carve pumpkins. And so you can turn your carved pumpkin into a silly monster and get kids to dictate a story about their carved pumpkin and give the pumpkin a name and what is his life story or her life story. Or perhaps you carve a bunch of pumpkins and they create a story for each of the pumpkins to interact with each other. Reminds me of that kid's song, Five Pumpkins Sitting on a Gate, which is a lot of fun. But that can be another form of a silly monster or a scarecrow or any of the things that we have talked about today. You can also use the pumpkin after Halloween as part of your mad scientist lab, because you can play with the guts and the seeds and learn about how each part of the pumpkin plays an important role in the life cycle of the pumpkin. But then you can concoct all kinds of weird recipes and magic potions with the different parts of the pumpkin as well. So, as you could probably tell, I do get very excited about the different learning and skill building opportunities that we do have at our fingertips during the fall. And I hope that you will have fun engaging with them all. As I said, putting together a robot's garage or a mad scientist lab are two of my favorite things to offer throughout the year for kids, because they get so creative and they learn all of these science-based ideas and reactions and ways that different chemicals or different ingredients interact with each other, which is just not only great fun, it's great learning. So as I wind out this week's episode, I do want to remind you and invite you to join me each week at thecreativecampusonline.com. I have a lot of virtual events that I would love for you to participate in with me. I offer an event called Live Lessons, where I go live each and every week. And I demonstrate up to 5 activities that usually are connected to a specific thing. So I, one week, might do things on robots, I might do things on silly monsters, I might do things on pumpkins, I might do things on leaves. You never know what I'm going to dive into. And I always welcome your participation in the live events. I love to learn from you guys as much as I hope that you enjoy learning from me in these different formats. So I would ask that you bring your own favorite activity contributions to each episode if you have something to share. I also offer a boredom buster experience, where we talk about a specific loose part each week and the different ways we can use it for learning, building skills, and creativity. And so those are some fun paid experiences where we can engage in real time in an online space. So I would love to have you join me from week to week to week. You can head on over to thecreativecampusonline.com and check that and many other experiences out. Very soon, I will have a text service as well, where you can get little tidbits of information that will make learning and exploration less stressful and more engaging for the kiddos in your life. And I would hope and once again invite you to join that as well. I will be posting in the future the phone number for that in the descriptions of each week's episode. It's another fun way for you guys to ask me your questions and for me to respond, all in an anonymous way. So that's what I have for you this week. I want to thank you for joining me. I hope you'll come back next week when we will have more fun learning and skill building exploring to do together. Enjoy the rest of your week. Happy Friday for a change, and I will talk to you soon.